Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Friday afternoon and welcome everyone to the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin Hur in tow. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're heading into the weekend, which, by the way, if you're looking at it as a three-day weekend, the Cotton Bowl is tonight. The NFL playoffs start tomorrow. The NFL playoffs continue Sunday, and the Alabama-Notre Dame National Championship is Monday. So stock up today at Brewers Outlet. Snacks, beverages, and the pickle bar, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're at the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywoods 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilshers General Store hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. Hilshers General Store, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. You name it, they have it at Hilshers General Store, including great outerwear. And don't forget, it's so cold out right there right now, buy the boots. All right, so it's another day and more speculation dealing with coaches in the National Football League. We have a very intriguing Cotton Bowl game coming up tonight, which I'm looking forward to. And then tomorrow the NFL playoffs begin. Seattle's at Washington tomorrow in the first game. And then the nightcap will have a rematch between the Vikings and Packers. This time that game will be at Lambeau Field. Two more playoff games coming up on Sunday, including the Bengals taking on the Houston Texans. So we're looking forward to that in the AFC playoffs. And, of course, the Baltimore Ravens will swing into action as well in the playoff picture. So we're looking forward to all that and much more in the National Football League this weekend. Alabama and Notre Dame play for the national championship on Monday night. We'll probably deal more with that on Monday's show. And obviously the coaching carousel goes round and round and round, and we'll certainly talk about that because in the TMZ world that Kevin lives in, that is the part that is more fun than anything else. The heck with nuts and bolts. Let's just speculate and throw names up against the wall and see which ones stick. Our number 1-800-795-9565 on the Hilshers General Store hotline. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Before we open up the vault and start talking about all the names, let's get to Above the Noise and Dan Patrick.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
While your favorite team is driving down the field, you're driving all around looking for a new car, which is driving you crazy. Well, Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices. Our North 4th Street Auto Plaza is stocked full of Ford, Lincoln, and Hyundais. We sell over a couple hundred cars a month. Why? Service and price. With our lowest price promise, if you can find a better price and another dealer on the used car you want, we'll beat it. That's a promise. Shop the largest Ford dealership online 24/7 at sunburymotors.com. Then stop in and test drive Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and our Kia dealership at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And be ready to tackle the largest inventory and our lowest price promise, selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Sunbury Motors. SunburyMotors.com. The winning team.
Okay. The Hilshers General Store hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. And you never know, there's moments where the host actually knows what he's talking about.
Blind squirrel finds an acorn every once in a while.
As panic engulfs the landscape. I mean, really.
You know, you try to do a measured, reasonable, I don't want to speculate, blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, he's so cautious. 24 hours later, how are you feeling about that kind of commentary?
It does eliminate speculation now.
Well, of course it does. Been trying to tell you that since day one.
It does eliminate speculation now.
Oh,
listen, I said this morning when they were talking about it on the mark. I said, everybody should be very happy, but it also shows the character of the man you have leading the program right now. I mean, it would be very difficult not to want to make a move to the NFL. I mean, or not entertain several offers to make a move to the NFL.
Right.
I mean, that would be like...
Well, there are three...
Yeah, that was what you were saying the other day. That would be like you getting an opportunity to do play-by-play in the NFL. You know, you would want, you're doing the job you want, but you know, you may want to entertain that offer anyway because that might be better for your situation or your family or whatever.
Right. So you look at it and see. I mean, Arizona, Cleveland, and Philadelphia were absolutely, I mean, they talked to him. Okay. Hey, Arizona, I believe Arizona talked to him on Wednesday, and Cleveland and Philadelphia talked to him yesterday. So,
now, Penn State fans should realize as well what they have leading the program right now.
Sure.
Because here's a guy that's in demand.
Now, how this all worked out, I don't know. I mean, you know, in the end, there's going to be a press conference Monday morning at 9, okay? There's going to be a press conference Monday morning at 9, and Bill O'Brien will be at the press conference, okay? So there you go. Now we can go back to our regular programming. Andy Reid is with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Is that official, or is that just very strong speculation right now?
It's all but a done deal. I mean, the fact that Scott Pioli's out.
Well, that was a good sign for Andy Reid, yes.
No, he's going to have much more power with Kansas City than he had in Philadelphia. Simple as that.
Well, everybody's speculating that he's going to bring in a GM.
Sure.
What about the possibility of Andy Reid being the coach and general manager as well, having full control of that program?
Well, I think he's going to have influence over almost everything they do there. I mean, that's the point. Look, Arizona and San Diego are two extremely attractive jobs. Who would not want to wake up and hear the surf crash against the cliffs, okay, and then drive to work and have Phillip Rivers as your quarterback?
Okay? I can think of worse places to be.
Right. Who wouldn't want to go to Arizona? Beautiful climate that they have out there, especially in the late fall and into the early winter. With the defense the Cardinals have, by the way, the Cardinals have a first-class NFL defense. Do not in any way think that the Cardinals don't have something. Their defense is really good, but they don't have a quarterback situation. The bottom line is the Kansas City Chiefs outworked San Diego and Arizona to get Andy Reid in the middle of the country. And there's probably more passion about Kansas City Chiefs football than there is about San Diego and Arizona football. The people of Kansas City love their football team. There is a real passion for that football team. They outworked two very attractive places to get Andy Reid to go there. Kansas City was not on the radar for anybody. They were a throw-in at the beginning of the week, weren't they?
Oh, at best.
And they outworked Arizona and San Diego to the point where he canceled talking to them.
The only question I have is, with Donovan McNabb aside, he has not had a ton of, I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, a ton of success with development of quarterback.
McNabb was quarterback for 10 years. There hasn't been a question about a quarterback in Philadelphia for 10 years.
Because that's what needs to happen at Kansas City. They don't have a quarterback.
Well, this is where I think they actually have Matt Castle, and Matt Castle in 2010 really had a nice – Matt Castle had a really good year with the Patriots, which then opened the door for him to go to Kansas City. And in 2010, he had a really good year when the Chiefs won the title, the AFC West. He has fallen off since. He inherits a team that has five Pro Bowlers on it. Now, Colquitt, the punter, okay, yeah, all right, fine. Okay, so they have four other Pro Bowlers, okay? One at each level of his defense. Tom Bahali, Johnson, the middle linebacker, Barry in the secondary. And he has a running back that is the equivalent of LeSean McCoy and Jamal Charles. That's what he has. And he might have a better offensive line there. The Chiefs dramatically underachieved this year. They should have been a seven-win team. And it should have been a 7-1 team, but there's something wrong. Now it's up to him to step in and see if he can make it right.
There's only one thing. I'm sorry, Steve. I wanted to share this with you, though, and get your thoughts on this. There's only one thing I feel that Andy Reid lacks as a coach, and that's the ability to manage the clock effectively.
Well, look, I watched the Chick-fil-A Bowl. I watched Dabo Swinney, and I watched Les Miles. You can't do worse than them.
Good point.
I mean, that bowl game is as mismanaged a game as I have seen. I mean, I know they gave them. I mean, if I were the Chick-fil-A people, I wouldn't even give them the trophy. I'd say, look, you won the game on points, you're done, go home. But what about the trophy? No, you can't have it. I mean, I watched Marvin Lewis and Mike Tomlin mismanage a game between the Bengals and the Steelers. I mean, I'm talking mismanaged.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, like you're sitting there like going, it escapes all logic. I mean, Mike Tomlin, I still would have kicked the field goal. Are you nuts? You know, I usually am not one that goes that dramatically against the grain on coaches. But the Chick-fil-A Bowl, I thought, was as poorly coached a game as I've seen in a long time. And the Bengals-Steelers game in the fourth quarter was about as poorly coached a game as I've seen in a long time. You have to know where you are. I mean, coaches talk about time and score all the time. Time and score, field position, time and score. Okay, you're going to kick a 50-yard field goal toward the open end of the stadium in a stadium that eats up kickers trying 50-yard field goals in that direction? Really? Really? I mean, you coach there all the time. You coach there for how many years? You know darn well the odds going in that direction are lousy. Punt the ball. Get to overtime.
And I agree with what you're saying on all this, but you're talking about one particular instance in all these. Andy Reid has a reoccurring issue when it comes to clock management.
To a point. Look, you can't win as many divisional titles and get to as many NFC championship games if you didn't manage the clock right in a whole bunch of games. Okay?
Oh, I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying, I don't disagree that Andy Reid is not, I've never said he's not a good coach. I said he's poor at clock management, and if you'd ever get that figured out or have someone assist him in that, it's almost like he needs a tutor because his algebra grade isn't quite high enough. Get a tutor to help you out with that a little bit, and boy, what a difference that would have made for the Eagles maybe this year.
No, it wouldn't have helped them this year.
You don't think close games?
They're not a good football team this year. It's not a good football team.
There were a lot of close games, though, early on.
They won three of those close games. I mean, you know, you could say, oh, they're on the verge of being 6-3. They're also on the verge of being 0-9.
Well, it does go both ways.
Okay, right? It goes both ways. I mean, the Cleveland game, Cleveland handed them that game. Okay, Cleveland handed them that game. All right? The Giants, again, if it wasn't for just an offensive pass interference call, okay, the Giants would have won that game. Tynes a good kicker. But he was 1 yard too far out to win the game. They don't get that pass interference call. Okay, the Giants win that game. But guess what? The Eagles don't. I mean, this is just, they had a lot of problems on this team. They had a lot of problems. Whomever they hire in Philadelphia, whether it's Mike McCoy, Chip Kelly, Dave Ritchie, whomever.
The Chief is not available, by the way.
They're going to be encountering some issues.
The here's an interesting one for you, and you know how all these start via the internet. Mike Florio said that there is a rumor going around that someone with close ties to the team Bill Cowher coached, I'm assuming the Steelers, had a hunch that Cowher could be the next coach of the Panthers. That's been rumored for several years because of his connection with the area, but he seems pretty content behind the desk in New York.
Of course he does. He's doing what we do. How content are you right now?
I'm always on edge, but you know me.
I forgot. I mean, he'll say to me, I'll be on the road. He goes, I pumped everything up to 16.8, and I'll sit there and go, okay.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
My attitude kills you.
But my point is, I love how these rumors get started. Well, no kidding. They've been talking about him going to Carolina for, what, about a decade now since he left Pittsburgh? A decade might be long.
Yeah, but they've been talking about it, and he's still sitting there next to Greg Gumbel.
And smiling about it.
James Brown, yeah. I mean, anybody could sit there for an hour and say stupid things. We do that for a living. All right, next half hour coming up.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
For Kevin Herr, this is like Christmas.
Actually, it's better.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. It's the weekend, time to stock up. All right, we have the Cotton Bowl tonight. You notice how ESPN hasn't talked a lot about the Cotton Bowl. You want to know why?
Well, maybe because they're not broadcasting this one.
They don't carry it. It's a better game than what they're carrying. It's Johnny Manziel, Texas A&M, Oklahoma tonight in Jerry World.
They have the Compass Bowl though, don't they?
We'll talk about that later. Tony DeFazio's on the show today. We have Guy Gadowski from Stores Connecticut today as well. So we got a lot going on. Yeah, but first, Jeff Byers. Jeff, go ahead. I'd like to hear from what Jeff has to say. Jeffrey?
He is one of these guys that just, he knows when it's time to turn it on, and he is just such a smart wrestler. I mean, he really has an understanding of really everything about the sport and kind of when he needs to peak and what moves will work, and he's been kind of working through that process here at 197 and figuring out really how to wrestle at 197. And yeah, I think he's coming into his own. I think he would tell you it was not a great tournament for him. Mind you, the pin in the final, not many guys are going to complain about that. But I really think he feels good about the movement he has right now, and I think he knows that he's capable of winning the national title again here at 197. And he knows what he wants to work on, what he needs to do between now and March. And, you know, it's very much about the process with guys like Clint Wright. And, yeah, he is definitely starting to come into his own here at 197. I think he feels more comfortable every time he steps on the mat here at this weight class. And again, to me, the real key for Clinton, and you can just kind of see it, because he likes the big throws, but when he knows that he can go to that double leg, which is so explosive, and get the points if he needs them, and he's doing that now. He'll go for the big throws for a while, then he'll realize, hey, it's still a 0-0 bout, or even a 1-0 bout in the second period. I better make sure I at least get the lead here. And he hits that double and gets the lead. And he's just a guy that you kind of know is going to be there when the spotlight is on at the end of the year.
Guy that's a great spot. Look, college wrestling is now a lot like college basketball. The last undefeated team in college basketball is Indiana in 1976. As great as Kentucky was last year, Kentucky still lost twice. Okay,
yeah.
In fact, I spent a summer talking repeatedly to Kevin Stallings, the Vanderbilt basketball coach, because his son played here for the State College Spikes, Jacob Stallings.
Yeah.
Well, they beat Kentucky in the SEC championship game last March. It's difficult to go undefeated in wrestling. So you talk about the process. So now let's update Ed Ruth, where he is in the process.
I tell you, Steve, he is just really maybe the single most remarkable talent. And yes, I realize Gary Kolod and David Taylor have come through here and some other great wrestlers. But when you talk about the all-around combination, speed, strength, power, knowledge, work ethic, and combining all of that, I don't know that there's been a wrestler quite like Ed Ruth. He really was never challenged. I mean, Steve Bozak, the match was fairly close in terms of the score, but there was never a moment in that bout where you thought that Steve Bozak might be able to figure out a way to get the win here, or that Steve Bozak might be able to get a takedown on Ed Ruth. Ruth is just, I'll tell you, Steve, I think he's as close to perfection right now as I've seen on the wrestling mat. He is very tough to score. He is very offensive-minded, and he just has, again, an uncanny ability to kind of make things up as he goes if he needs to or if he wants to in a given match. And his instincts are just uncanny on the mat. And it's just fun to watch him. I mean, he's one of these guys that you'll be able to tell folks about decades from now that, yep, I got to watch that guy throughout his career, and he is, without that, I mean, he and David Taylor are two of the really special wrestlers. I mean, they're going to go down with the John Smiths and the Dan Gables and the Cal Sandersons, the Lincoln McElravies. I mean, that caliber of wrestler is where Ed Roots is. And I tell you, unless there's somebody else that's coming up that we don't know about right now that's going to splash onto the scene next year, I don't think Ed Roots is going to be touched. Not just not lose. I don't think he's going to be touched over the final 3 years of his collegiate career, which is really remarkable when, as you said, in this day and age, it is just very difficult to go through a season undefeated, no matter how talented you are in the sport anymore.
How do you feel about the development, Jeff, of Nico Megalutis?
You know, Nico is a little frustrated himself, and I'm hoping that the coaches are getting through to it because they are not frustrated with him. What Nico's frustrated about is he feels that he should be scoring, a lot of points in every bout, and that's what his goal is, all of David Taylor. He is running into a lot of opponents. I mean, almost all of his opponents right now are just wanting to keep it close. They're shutting down. They're trying to grab his elbows and keep him from getting his movement going. And even with that, he's still getting 3-4 takedowns against ranked opponents. Now, in his mind, he should be winning by majors and tech falls regardless of the opponent. And so he's frustrated by the 5 or the 6-point wins over these guys. But I am telling you, Nico Megalutis, from where he was a year ago, is miles beyond where he was. And I think sometimes he doesn't quite see it. But I'm telling you, those that are working with them see it, and they know it, and they're working with them. They're not certainly satisfied, and I know he's not satisfied. He wants to be a dominant wrestler that's contending for the Hodge Trophy and all of those sorts of awards. But he is really as steady a wrestler as they have in this lineup. You just know what you're going to get, not just every meet, but every moment of every practice. It is just all-out effort. And he's just smart with the way he does everything, Steve. I mean, this is a kid that eats right, to make sure he gets the right amount of rest, doesn't get caught up in any of the social nonsense that's out there in college. And he's just a very focused and very disciplined kid, and he just goes about everything in a very meticulous and very strategic manner. Right? He really has a plan set out for himself, knows what he wants to do, and does everything he can to go out and accomplish those goals.
That is Jeff Byers joining us talking about Penn State wrestling. We'll come back, and live on the line, we will talk with Bill O'Brien about his decision to remain at Penn State as the head coach of the Nittany Lions. We continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. And we are joined on the line now by Penn State football coach Bill O'Brien. Bill, welcome. Now, let's see. Thought I had that thing all hooked in there. All right, we'll try this one more time. We're joined by Penn State football coach Bill O'Brien. Bill, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us. Oop, lost him there for a second. Well, we're going to try and get him back. I've actually been talking to Bill on the line here for the last few minutes, Kev, trying to get him lined up here on the show. And he's going to join us live here in just a few minutes on the show. And I'm going to give him a quick call back and do that.
Okay. We can do you know? That. In the meantime, I can say that coming up in just a few minutes, we'll give you details on how you could win some tickets to see the Penn State and Nittany Lions on Monday. Again, that'll be coming up in a few. And, of course, we've been always catching up to on the latest news from the coaching carousel. And one of the pieces of information about Kansas City, we already talked about Andy Reid likely going to Kansas City. And there's the Philadelphia Inquirer's Jeff McLean tweets that Marty Morningwig won't follow Andy Reid to Kansas City. He has four other options to be an offensive coordinator right now. So we talked about the fact that Andy Reid can pretty much decide who he brings with him to Kansas City. And, of course, GM might be a possibility as well. Oregon's Chip Kelly is also being looked at. Okay. And, Steve, now, you're all set.
Now, you know, I want you to be on your toes because he's going to call the 800 line right now.
Oh, I can do that.
Okay, so he's going to be calling back right now.
You're assuming I'm never on my toes.
I am. There's a reason for that.
Your confidence wells me up with support.
Yeah. So, there we go. That's him calling in right now. It's just much easier to do it this way. And I'm going to pay for this. You know I will. I will pay for this. All right? Because there are going to be moments you're going to say, Jonesy, you couldn't get me on the air. You needed somebody else to do it.
I do like, though, he calls in and says, first-time caller, long-time listener, though. That's good.
Oh, that's always been one of my favorites. When I hear somebody on a Boston talk show, they'll call up, they'll say, long-time listener, first-time caller, Brady, best ever?
Yeah. Bobby Orr.
I'm calling from Somerville. What's Bobby Orr's birthday?
Unbelievable.
And I know it's March 20th. All right.
Bill? Yeah, right.
Yeah. Bill's a hockey guy. I'm a hockey guy. March 20th is a holiday in New England.
It certainly is.
Bill, the decision, you know, look, it's. I think it speaks highly of you that people wanted to talk to you. In the end, when you look at your players and the football team you have, how much of an influence did that have on the final decision?
Well, the group of players and the staff that I have there, you know, obviously along with my family are the three biggest influences. And, you know, this is a unique place, Steve. You've been here a long time, and it's a very, very top college football program. It's a top five football program, in my opinion, and we've got to work to get back to that, and we've got a long road. But I have a lot of respect for the NFL. They reached out to my representative, and you know, at the end of the day, it's right for me to do what I said I was going to do, and that's stay at Penn State and coach these players and work with this staff and do the best I can for Penn State.
How important is it to you that the staff is well taken care of because of their loyalty to you and vice versa?
Well, I think it's a really important part of it, Steve. I think that's a great question. You know, these guys are top-flight coaches that have plenty of opportunities, and this is not going to be the easiest of times over the next few years for Penn State. And these are tough guys that have been through a lot, and they've stuck with us. They've stuck with Penn State. They've stuck with me. So, you know, I think it's important for the people of Penn State to understand that and do the best we can to take care of these guys.
It's almost exactly a year since you were hired for the job, and one of the top priorities was putting that staff together. They have stayed together. The continuity in staff, what does that mean to you, Bill, and what does it mean to the future of Penn State football that continuity is there?
Well, that's a big deal. You know, that's what the NFL is going through right now. Those teams that are starting over again, and continuity is what breeds success. And when you have a staff that's worked together and knows each other's language and work ethic and understands their role and what their strengths and weaknesses are. How they fit into the staff, and then the players see the chemistry of our staff. I think the players really see a staff that gets along very well. So it's important to keep this staff together.
Give me an idea. You have to recruit, and it's one thing. Every coach across the country is recruiting to get to that first Wednesday. But not only that, you're recruiting sophomores and juniors as well. But what about the added difficulty, the burden that you've had is to re-recruit the current players you have on top of it?
Yeah, that was something that really took last summer when the sanctions came out. I would say that after this year that we had, which was a decent year, a good start to a new era of Penn State football, I think it more than anything, it showed these players what we were all about as a program. And I think the thing that people always seem to forget, not you, Steve, but I think a lot of people aren't around Penn State every day forget about the level of education that these guys are getting. You can't replace that in your life. You know, the fact that you can graduate from Penn State with this degree and then play Big Ten football, that's a tough combination to beat. So I think our guys understand that, and they enjoy playing in this program.
I think, as you know, and we've talked about this a few times, is that every station I've been on, whether I'm a guest, the one thing I always want to bring back is that I don't want to hear the culture argument. The culture here is a beautiful culture. Yeah. What have you been able to at least tell recruits, but also tell other people what you think the culture of Penn State University?
Yeah, I agree with you. That's a ridiculous argument. It's a frustrating argument to deal with. But this is a fantastic culture of the combination of student athletes and the way that they go out on the field and play extremely hard, and then go to class and compete in the classroom. And it's the student body and what they mean to this university. And so I think this is a great place to go to school. And that's a lot of it is obviously because of the culture. And I think the athletic department, the football program, has a lot to do with that.
When you get to the 5:30 a.m. workouts, Bill, what are some things that you're going to be looking for as you now start to look at that next chapter of what the Bill O'Brien era is going to look like?
Right. This is a new team. This has already started. You know, these guys, before they went home for Christmas break, they began their workouts with Fitz, and then when they get back here on Monday, they'll start it up again. So it'll start even there, you know, before the 5:30 workouts. And this team has to begin to identify itself, create its own identity, and new leaders need to start to emerge. And then, you know, in those winter workouts, that's a lot of different things going on there. That's our ability as a staff to evaluate the roster and see where guys fit the best. It's a chance for the team to come together. It's a little bit of mental toughness to get up early and be out there when it's cold, and some togetherness. So there's a lot of team building there, and it gives this team another chance to create its own identity.
In the second year now for you as a head coach, with the staff, with a roster that you now have familiarity with, how far ahead are you mentally because of that versus 1 year ago?
Well, I think we're really a lot farther ahead at most positions. I think the key position for us is going to be quarterback and who emerges at quarterback. Obviously, we have a lot of confidence that Stephen Bench will be a very, very good quarterback. Then we have some guys coming in. We have Tyler Ferguson, who will be here on Monday, a really top-notch junior college quarterback from California that we're looking forward to coaching. And then, obviously, in recruiting, hopefully we get some guys coming in here. I can't mention their names, but obviously that's going to be the biggest, the biggest position for us to get up to speed as fast as we can. But I think overall, as a program, I think our guys that are veteran players that have been out there in the systems, you know, are much farther ahead than they were last year.
All right. So now, one of the things that you love about the culture is that you are a basketball fan. All right. And I'm sure that you were trying to figure out any way you could to find out how Chambers was doing last night. What do you think of the Chambers basketball team so far?
Well, I am a huge basketball fan. I'm a big Pat Chambers fan. Just really enjoy the way he coaches. I enjoy talking about competition with him and practices. And, you know, I think the one thing that always stands out to me about his teams is they play tough defense. They play hard, and that's because of the way they practice. And so, yeah, they lost Timmy Frazier, and everybody's saying, you know, what's going to happen to this team? And look, are they going to go undefeated the rest of the way? Probably not, but they're going to fight, and they're going to scratch, and they're going to pull off some games, some wins that are going to surprise people. And I would never count a Pat Chambers team out, I can tell you that.
How important is it, though, for you, you guys are comparable age, that he is a guy that believes that, hey, look, fight to the very end, to the last second, and how much does that match your philosophy as well?
We have similar philosophies, I think, because in many ways we have similar personalities. You know, he always says, you know, Philly, Boston, you know, he's a city guy. I'm a suburban guy. I grew up in the suburbs of Boston. He grew up in the city, so he's a lot tougher than me, but he's a competitive guy, and we both believe in hard work, and we believe in grinding it out, and the game's never over till it's over. And so when I went to the last game I went to, they played New Hampshire. I've been on the road since then, but, you know, we got guys diving on the floor for loose balls, and they were playing extremely hard in that game. And I think it's a team that mirrors the football team, and hopefully can continue to do that.
Well, I can't wait to see you at the 5:30 workouts.
I know, you'll be there. See, you can bring my Dunkin' Donuts.
I can bring your Dunkin' Donuts. And not only that, you know, I'm insane enough to do it.
Yeah, I got an extra large with 3 Splenda and extra cream.
3 Splenda and extra cream. No problem. Yeah. You're in.
Starbucks is mad at me now. I'm sorry, Starbucks. I apologize. That's
okay. We can mix and match, but we're New Englanders. You and I are New Englanders. We're Dunkin' Donuts guys.
D&D. You got it.
Hey, Billy, thanks so much. Safe trip in, and we'll see you soon.
You got it. Thanks, Steve. Bye-bye.
Bill O'Brien, the head football coach of the Nittany Lions, joining us live here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We appreciate the time Bill gave us. He said, Jonesy, I just got the message. He said, the phone's been blowing up because I texted him this morning about it. And, he, you know, typical him, he called back right away. You know, he was anxious to talk to you.
I'm sure, yeah. I just thought it was funny. I answered the phone the way I always do, and he goes, hey, listen, it's Coach O'Brien, a longtime listener, first-time caller. And I just
I know,
that's funny, because that's your favorite line, I know.
Oh, he's heard me do that before, but see, but you have to understand something about this guy. He has maybe one of the 10 best senses of humor I've ever been around. He cracks me up. That's why when he does that, I wasn't surprised he did that. Long-time caller. I mean, long-time listener, first-time caller. Brady, best ever? You took all that to ask that question?